Being have a seat, hallelujah. There's enough to go around, so. Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys. Oh, man. It's precious time. Hallelujah. Well, most of the time I get things on my heart for this time, like months and months ahead. And when that happens, it's sort of like, a comparison maybe I'd rather not use, but it's about best I can think. It's like fermentation, the longer the amount of time, the stronger it gets. Or another thing is like shaking up something carbonated and then popping the top off. So if I explode a little bit, be not surprised, because this has been brewing a little bit, but I feel very strongly I have a word for us group-wise, but would also be for every individual, regardless of where you're at in your life, whether you're 12 years old or whether you're 87 or anywhere in between, regardless of what you're doing for the Lord, this word will speak to your heart in this next couple, well, not couple of days, the next 24 hours. yeah. But it has to do with the plan of God in your life. The plan of God in your life. And I have a lot to share. Pastor Dave's going to share some tomorrow. And I always enjoy sitting under his ministry. The word's always very refreshing to me. So so I look forward to that, Dave, what God will bring through you as well. And we'll flow together as the Holy Ghost directs us in this theme. But I'm going to begin sharing a few things about the plan of God in general. And then I'm going to get to some specifics. And then tomorrow I'm going to get on a lot more specific things, principles, and things that you need to recognize concerning the plan of God in your life. But I'm going to go first to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1, 11. Actually, the first three chapters of Ephesians all speak about the plan of God. But in reading Ephesians 1:11, speaking of Christ, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. There are two principles in this verse that I want to begin with. Again, I'm going to just lay a few general principles and then begin moving to the personal aspect of the plan of God in our life. But a plan is steps of action. That's what a plan is, to reach a particular goal or purpose. And it says here that we obtained inheritance being predestinated, or it was planned. Now, sometimes people use that word wrongly, like you don't have any choice or anything. Like everything's that will be, and whatever God just says is going to happen, whether you're obedient in faith or anything else. And that's wrong. But God had a plan before He created the heavens and the earth. We know that very clearly, the various other scriptures. He had a plan, and it was according to purpose. All plans must proceed from purpose, because a plan is the steps to reach the goal or the objective. Plans flow according to purpose. So therefore, saying that, you need to know the purpose of all things before you can plan to accomplish whatever it is you want. In this particular case, the purpose of God. Now, I can go whole teachings just on that. So I'm not going to do that, but I'm just going to state for the moment that the plan of God before He created the heavens and the earth, the plan for man was to have a family who would know His character, which to sum up the love of God, but all things inclusive of His character, and then to glorify Him while we're on the earth. Those are the two things. And really, the only two things you're taking with you to heaven. You can't purpose you're taking people with you, because that's their choice. They don't belong to you. You can pray and lead them into the kingdom, but you can't make them come into the kingdom. God doesn't make anyone come. He gives us a choice. But the reason we had to have, and I'm just going to state this, if this blows your mind at all, you know, I can't, it's whole teachings just on this, but I'm just going to state it. And that is, people say, well, why the fall? You know, was that an accident? Was Jesus plan B? No, it was all part of the plan from the beginning. Because without having known sin and death, there is no way we could come into comprehension of the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness, the graciousness of God. And it says in 1 Peter 1, the angels desire to see into the things that we see. They have been in the very presence of God in heaven. They see all the glory of God, but they don't see into the love of God. And that is the greatest thing. It says our loving kindness is better than life. The thing of highest value in the mind of God is for you to know the love of God. And our life on this earth is like lighting a match, blowing it out, poof, it's gone. And the older you get, the more you realize how quick it is, isn't it? I mean, time just seems to go so fast as you get older. You know, it's just in India like 9-10 days. And it seemed like one. Why? Because I was in the plan. I was in the will of God. And that's a joy. And you know how it is, you know, when time flies when you're having fun. Well, in the plan of God, the primary thing God wants a people that knows who he is. The angels can't know that because they've not sinned. The ones that sin are out. One shot. They were in the very presence of God. But the other angels, they don't see what you see. They can't know what you know. And we have to understand that is of such high value to know the very heart of God is worth it all the grief we have on this earth. Now, again, I can go to a bunch of scriptures with that. That's not my main point. But what I do want to state here is the objective of God is to have a family and fellowship with him that knows him. Okay, that means they're going to have to hear the gospel, be set free from the power of sin and death and demons, come into the kingdom of God by believing on Jesus Christ, receive of the Spirit of God, partake of the fruit. You know, all those things come into play there. He wants a family that knows him and that we are ordained to be filled with his Spirit and bring glory to God on the earth. The testimony of Jesus goes with you to heaven. So live for him. Your testimony will bring praises. That's a whole other thing. Okay, but the key point here is to start. You're taking notes. I should ask for a whiteboard or something. But is that planning is according to purpose. People without purpose will have no planning for their life. Therefore, they'll be undisciplined, waste their time, waste their resource, waste the focus of their life. They don't even know what to focus on. So you have to have planning. You might say, well, planning's not my thing. Well, you need to learn to make it your thing. Okay? There's a lot of things you have to learn whether you like it or not. Because if you don't learn the aspect of the flowing with the plan of God, you're not really going to accomplish much. And you'll end up, if you don't have purpose, you'll live for pleasure. That's an absolute. All drug addicts, alcoholics, sex addicts, all of it. Do not have strong enough purpose, and you live for pleasure in the present. And then thus you become addicted to that. But when you live with purpose, you must discipline yourself to ever see it come to pass. So planning is according to purpose. Learn to find the purpose in everything you do. And then you can properly allot the resources of your life, whether it's your time, money, whatever, towards that. Secondly, now these are just some general principles, and I want to get into some personalized stuff. He planned according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. Okay, now you may have heard this expression if you've been exposed at all, like to motivational speaker or something. They'll say, and it came from the Bible, really. Plan your work, work your plan. You know, there's a lot of these motivational guys. Some of the early ones, they actually were Christians that got things from the Bible. And it just sort of gets passed on. People market it then. But you have to plan, and then you work it. Now, God is a worker. Okay, there is a work being done in you, in the earth, in the church. There's a work to be done. And we have to learn to work and flow with work. It says he works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, the word counsel here and will are two Greek words, bully and theoma. And the counsel's dealing with a determined decision that was really thought through before action. And will always brings an action. When you express your will, you are pursuing something. Now, you can have a 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old. They will express their will. They want something. And they'll find out how to get it. We need to have as much determination as a small child. Now, of course, what they want is generally selfish in its nature. And, of course, you have to discipline them. But the point there is that there is a determination that brings a decision that's rooted in a strong desire in your will. If it's not in your will, you're not going to see a plan come to pass, or particularly God's plan. And part of that is it takes a great commitment, sacrifice. There will be opposition. Those are things I'll get to probably tomorrow. But first, there's a plan according to purpose. And then there is the determination and decision that's proceeding from your will. It's not just something in your head, not a good idea. You know, sometimes I'll say, and some of you, you know, aren't familiar with me, I don't care about people's opinions and ideas. I mean, sure, like what color carpet to put, I mean, who cares? What kind of snacks to have? We'll get something you like. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about, I want to find the plan of God, and opinions of other people will take you another direction. And the plan of God will involve some timing, and we've got to be aware of certain things and not just be like so random and just whatever, you know, comes into the mind. We have to know what the purpose is that we're going to, and then find God's plan for it. But it's going to have to take then a decision to pursue it, a determined decision. Many people will talk about, yeah, I'd like to do this someday. We've probably all done it. I know I've done that. Yeah, I'd like to do this. When are you going to do it? Well, it's never going to happen until you make the decision. One that proceeds from the will that this is burning on the inside of you. You know, over the years, I don't know, Dave, how long, like people talk in vision. When did that come be vogue in the body of Christ? Maybe 25 years ago? I mean, just vision, people talking it. And then you'll find people who said things like that aren't even in ministry anymore. Or they quit. They didn't follow it through. Was it really a vision from God? You know, you can have an idea in your head. You won't pay the price for just a cool idea or something that sounds good or something that would be interesting or something, well, that would be nice to accomplish this. It has to burn on the inside. It has to be so strong that it produces a decision with an accompanying commitment. In my heart, you know, I said beginning, whether you're 12 or 87, this is for you. Because you guys that are young, you have to understand, God has a big plan for your life. There's special things for you to do. There's special gifts in you. And even at a young age, you want to begin to be open to the Holy Spirit about things like that. And what's the next step? Because a plan is steps. You don't just jump from one thing to the next. There are steps in your life. And when you begin to find the reason you're on this earth, to know the Lord, to serve Him, to glorify Him, you begin to understand that. And then within all of that, there's something unique to you. There's something special about each one of us. Regardless of where we're at in our life. And we need to find that. You know, men, want to be have a satisfaction of accomplishment. That's why a lot of men will bury themselves in work. They're looking for feeling, you know, that they're accomplished something. There's a satisfaction to that. You know, women tend more like with having kids and all that stuff, but as a man, you want to know your life counted for something. You want to know it produced something. We were created to be fruitful. We were created to work and be fruitful. And so many guys, you know, they never find what was there for them. They might do things and even accomplishment in the world's eyes, but there's no real satisfaction. At the end of the day, it's empty. But what God has is really the only place where there's like a great joy and satisfaction. We can't let ourselves be distracted and pulled off course of what He really had for us. We'll regret it later if we do. Well, just some principles here. A plan according to purpose. The working of it must proceed out of a strong decision. There is the time you make a decision and a commitment. You jump out of that airplane, you're committed. But it has to be in on the inside of you. Just a couple other basic points before I get into where I really want to get here. The plan of God, concerning the plan of God, there is a plan within a plan within a plan. A plan within a plan within a plan. If you just try to look at the plan of God, just you by yourself, there's going to be something important that's missing for you and won't seem to work. In Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel had a vision, and I won't go into all of it, but a vision of certain creatures, and they were showing the character of God. But down at verse 14, 15, he says, the creatures, these living creatures, which is reflective of the Spirit of God, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like the, you know, it describes it. And it says their work at verse 16, Ezekiel 1:16, their work what was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. A wheel in the middle of a wheel. Now you think of a wheel, big wheel, and then there's a wheel going like this inside. Okay, wheel turning, a wheel within a wheel. And that wheel speaks to work, the work of God. Prior to that, he's speaking to the character, the Spirit of God, and the wheel speaks to the work. Now the wheel, I don't know when that was discovered, but that was one of the greatest inventions or discoveries of all time, because they used to have to carry everything, and now you can roll it, push it. I have to laugh. Dave, did you ever meet Vlad, Pastor Vlad in Odessa? He interprets some. Well, he was in like Ukrainian-type Navy SEALs, and he's a pastor, and he would interpret. And he hated being in the Ukrainian military. And he said, they had a saying, if it was square, you pushed it. If it's round, you carried it. Okay? That was how he summed up the Ukrainian military. If it was square, you pushed it. If it was round, you carried it. That just comes to my mind. But, you know, the wheel, you had the wheelbarrow and so on and so forth. And that's picture really of work, you know, carrying a load. To be able to move a load, to, and it's reflective of work. And it says about a wheel within a wheel. In other words, there's a work within the work. There's a plan within a plan within a plan. God has a plan for man from beginning to end. He had a plan, and I mentioned earlier, we would be a people. He'd have a family. He would be Father. We'd be His children. He'd be God. We'd be His people. We would know Him, and we would glorify Him or express who He is through our life. So that's like the big plan. But within that plan, there's smaller plan or parts of a plan. And you had like the nation of Israel to be a prophetic witness. You had the part of the plan where the Christ would come and He would pay the price to redeem us from sin, conquer Satan, rise from the dead, conquer Satan, ascend to the right hand of God. You had that part of the plan. We're now in the church age of the plan. And then there's the millennial reign. But God has a plan. Whoa, caught here. A plan within a plan. A plan within a plan. And your life, okay, has a plan like this big scale, nations and so forth. Then there's a plan for the church of Jesus Christ. Worldwide, church, local. And within that plan is a plan for you. You cannot just take, and this is the wisdom of God, you cannot take plan for you and just isolate yourself. Doesn't work that way. The wisdom of God is for the plan for you individually to work, you have to be a part of the bigger plan, which is a part of the bigger plan, which is a part of the bigger plan. And in the wisdom of God, the reason he did that is it forces you to love. If you can be a hermit, you don't have to love anybody. If you avoid all contact with humanity, you can avoid. But that's the whole issue, to learn the love of Christ. Not just know about it, but walk in it. So he forced the issue in that sense. Also, you have the element, we have grace in a measure, and we need the grace that's in everyone else. And we'll get into that tomorrow also. But there's a plan within a plan. There's a wheel within a wheel. So I want to just mention this. There's the plan worldwide, and I'll specifically say to the times we're in, the harvest, the end time harvest. We know from the Bible the world will go headfirst into a one world government, one world currency, one control, demonic control at the end. We are accelerating on that course right now. The stuff going on, it's accelerated towards that. There is a parallel track in the kingdom of God to accelerate towards the harvest of souls, that the family of God be complete. And the plans, see, you can't work a plan outside of the times and place where you are. Someone could be in Vienna, Austria in 1937 and say, I have a plan from God. And if it's not in line with the times, which there's going to be war, and your nation's going to be taken over, and you're going to be a slave to a German dictator, if you didn't factor that in the equation, your plans aren't going to work. And sometimes people think they can act independently of the bigger thing that's going on. You can't. Now, God can, do things independent, but you can't. If a nation goes to war, it's at war. You live in it. You're part of it. Now, we have the promises of God through the covenant. We can believe for protection, healing, and still prosper, just as Isaac prospered, during time of famine. Okay, we have all of that. But I'm just saying, within what you're going to be doing, it fits. It has to fit with the bigger picture of things. Okay? So you have the times, all this garbage going on in the world, we have to be careful that, we have to be aware. You can't be stupid about it in your head in the sand. But we can't get caught up and get angry and fearful or anything like that. We have to stay focused on what is the plan of God for your life, because his plan for your life takes all that you have. There's not room for a bunch of time to be wasted or resource or everything. That all hinders us. Okay, so you have a plan within a plan. So in the wisdom of God, an individual would be involved with a family within church, churches within the body of Christ at large, which largely is through missions. It's not through we all have to have a big rally together. That's just foolishness. That's kumbaya stuff. Feel good. Let's have a big meeting. Feel good. Kumbaya, my Lord. But we're on the same team. And particularly when it comes to the evangelism and missions, we're not in competition with our brothers or other churches or anything. We're on the same team. But we all have an assignment. There's people you can reach and you can reach, I won't reach. But we're on the same team towards the same purposes. And it's irrelevant who in the eyes of man does more, is bigger, or anything else. That's all irrelevant. It's nonsense to even be thinking about that stuff. Lord, what am I responsible for? Okay, so your life will need, you know, the plan for your life is going to be in conjunction with a bigger plan. So you have, say, on church level, we're in church age, you have on that level, part of what you would do would flow with the other brethren who God called you to work with, who he called you together with. Okay, so I just want to make that point. Plan is within a plan, because if you try to just isolate yourself, well, I'll find God's plan for me, forget everybody else. It doesn't work. That does not work that way. I mean, you can try it, but I'm just telling you, you're going to find out it doesn't work that way. All right, another particular point. The plan of God is steps toward a goal. There is a beginning and end point within plans. There are beginnings and ends. If you don't know that or know what that is, you have no way of knowing, well, do I keep doing this or do I do something else? It says in Philippians 1, Paul said he is confident that the work Jesus began, he will complete. Jesus begins and completes. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. There is beginning and completion. Jesus said, I finished the work. When he was praying there, John 17. He came to do the will of God and to finish the work. The Lord's a finisher. It is not good if we just like to start things and we never finish anything. That's not a good thing. And I realize, you know, maybe all of us have some things like that, like you started a project in the backyard and you haven't had time to finish it. You're going to dig a garden or something like that. But if we recognize the plan of God, we need to be so purposed and deliberate in a decision and a commitment that we are purposed to finish it. Paul spoke of how he finished his course there in 1 Timothy 4. He knew he finished what God had for him. That needs to be how we're purposing to go out in life, that we know what God had for us and we finish what it was, where we say, beam me up, Scotty. Okay. Some of you aren't old enough to know that's Star Trek, okay? Beam me up, Lord. That's the way to go out of here. You're finished, and you go. And we can all rejoice. Like, he finished his work. Praise God, what a testimony. But if you don't know what it was for you to do, how do you know if you're finished? Is it because you're tired? No. You have to have, you'll be able to measure what it is that was to be done. Sometimes people will leave what God had for them and where he put them because they're weary, they're tired, what have you. And they don't know, well, was what was to be done finished? You have to know that. So you can go to the next thing and start that. So there is beginning, there is end. With any plan, you have steps. Now, some of you, your work involves plans. I know Gene was project manager on big construction jobs, right, Gene? And you have a day you're going to start and a day it's supposed to be completed. And if it's not, you're paying fines, right? Or not you, but your boss is. The owner of the company is. And you know, there's a lot of things in life. You know, even if you're planning to cook a meal, okay, we want to have this finished by this time. And you know, the thing with, if you ever invited or you're going to be a guest or anything, be on time, because the person cooking, their goal is to have everything hot, just perfect, right at that time, and you're not there. So what are we going to do? We're going to hold it over? No, we're going to eat now. I'll eat by myself if I need to. I mean, I don't believe in rewarding lack of discipline and lateness. But say as a cook, some of you cook, you know, your plan, you have a plan, such and such a time, it's all out. And you have to have the steps. Okay, this, I need to start an hour and a half before, and this needs to cook this long, and this is going to take this long to prepare and get everything where it's all, boom, coming out. Well, you have that plan there. There is that end point in completing the plan. So there's so many things like that. I mean, if you do construction, I mean, you know, you have that element there. So many things. So God has beginning and end. And with that, you can measure where you're at. But if you don't know where the beginning and the end is, you don't know where you are. How do you know you're there? So this is important as well. Now, in saying that, the plan of God for you, you won't know all of it. You probably won't know more than the next step, the next part. Because that's generally about all we can handle. Sometimes he might show some things a little more distant. But how much of that can you handle where you won't push in your own ability? Or be so overwhelmed and scared by it, you're going the other way as fast as you can. I mean, had God shown me when I was new believer, young believer, the stuff that I've done, I surely would have went to the mountains to be the hermit. Because that's what I was planning to do. I surely would have said, there's no way this boy's doing that. But he doesn't show you all you're going through. In fact, he won't even show you really what you're going through for the most part. He shows you what you're going to. The children of Israel to go into the promised land. To go into the promised land. He wasn't, you know, magnifying all the giants. So yeah, they're there. What was my word to you? You'll overcome all of it. You'll conquer all of them. Doesn't matter how big they are. Okay. So in the plan of God, there will be beginning and there will be an end. Jesus knew about his own life, beginnings, and when it was finished. And then he moved to the next step. He had what he was doing on earth, in his earth walk, preaching to Israel. And then also he was making disciples who would carry on everything after he was dead, resurrected, ascended. And then there was that next point where he sent the Holy, he went to the right hand of the Father. He sent the Holy Spirit, the church age start. His next position was Lord and head of the church. So here he is before his death. He's praying, says, I finished the work. He knew he had finished. He knew what he needed to do. He knew when it was done. You know, when you do certain work repetitively, it's like, say, construction or something, you know when you're finished. You know what the finished product is, what that's going to look like. I remember when I used to do masonry, you probably did the same thing. Masonry compared to working in a factory. You know, factory, you're just doing something. You have no sense of accomplishment. But in masonry, of course, the factory workers are in line, hit that time clock, run to the car, peel out, shooting stones all over the parking lot, scratching everybody's car, going berserk. Been there. I didn't do that, but I, you know, was on the other end of it, watching everybody else. But in construction, you finish and you stand back for maybe 10 minutes and look at what you did. Because you could see what you did. And for me, and then Pastor Dave was the same, we were masons. Not the demon masons, we were bricklayers. But we would start, and I would always set a goal. I'd always set a goal I couldn't hit, probably. It'd take perfect day. And just, you know, you really to push yourself. See, if you have no goal, if you have nothing you're moving toward, there's nothing to push you. Many times, young people, and young guys, hear me here, you don't realize how much more you can do than what you can do already. And you need somebody to push you a little bit. And at the time, you won't like it, or you know, you're still growing. You think, oh, Dad, I can't lift another hay bale. Do you ever feel like that, Josh? I can't lift another hay bale. That's not Patrick, is it? Dad, I can't lift another hay bale. Yes, you can, son. Do it. And you keep getting a little stronger. You learn to push. Some people don't know how to push themselves. Well, then there's a point then, as you learn to push, you have to add a little bit of wisdom, especially as you get older. I don't push, I pace now. I pace myself, plan the use of my energy, because I know where it's going to run out. Okay. Well, you know, in setting those goals, I mean, I would push, and it would make you be better. Now, Dave here was a better mason than me, in my opinion. He was fast. But there was an unspoken thing you did as a mason. You'd race each other. It was unspoken. You never said it. But you'd race to the middle of the wall. And one time I was helping. We were doing an addition on a house, I think. And we were racing. And I started getting by half motion. Here the walls moving. We went so fast. And we were racing each other. You know, and the walls blowing in the wind. We had to just sit down and stop. I mean, I couldn't believe how many bricks we threw in that day. But the having measurable goals enables you to pace yourself if necessary or push yourself. But see, we have to have that. And sometimes people with what God's plan for their life is, there's no sense of measurement. And you don't know, well, am I going the right direction? Am I going in circles? Am I pushing hard enough or not? Not at all. You know, when you guys like Garrett, Jared, you guys are in your prime. You have kids. And you have all this responsibility, wife, kids, house, grass and mow, and all this kind of stuff. And you are forced to push, right? You're forced. It gets easier, guys. I mean, when, you know, your kids are grown, have grandkids, play with a couple hours, say, here they are. I mean, that's the ultimate. It gets better. But it's good. I know, you know, in that stage of life, I know all you guys, you know, hard workers, and you want to do what God has, and you know there's relationships, there's things have to be done, responsibilities. But it's a life season where if you really submit yourself to the will of God and all that, there is a strengthening and a growth and a discipline that can develop or needs to develop and will develop, which enables you to do even more later. You know, the whole thing of turn 62 or 65 or whatever and kick back, have enough money to do nothing but please yourself, that is from the pit of hell, as far as I'm concerned. I'm serious. That is demonic. Because God has a plan where we work all the days of our life. There's a greater work to be done. You gain all this wisdom and understanding and this development of skills and whatever, and you're going to sit back and just waste it on a golf course. Or, I mean, it doesn't matter what your thing is, fishing, golf, watching baseball, whatever. It doesn't matter. I mean, that's not the issue. But the thing is, we need to develop the mind to work and to be finishers for what God had. Whether you live to be 110 or it's done in 33 years, like Jesus. John the Baptist, what was he, about 31 maybe? It was over. Moses got started at 80, Pop. So, and you're past starting, 87, right? So, beginning, you know, there's beginning and end with plan. Now, the purpose, the final objective, that's one. Okay, that's one thing. And for us, it's all the will of God. Glory of God. As a Christian man, the glory of God, knowing him, his will being done, which entails a lot of things, and your life's lived in seasons. And, you know, sometimes there's more of this, and another time there's more of that. Don't let what others are doing distract you, or you think something's wrong with you, or you have to be like somebody else. You need to find a plan of God for your life. Now, the fifth principle I want to bring, then I'm going to get to what's really burning in me, but God provides for his plan. Now, he'll provide for you as a believer. He gave the children of Israel who were disobedient bread every morning. They wish they would have had a little bit more. Had they been obedient in his plan, they'd have had it all. But he did take care of them. Some people are satisfied to just get by. That should not be among us. Well, and people, they learn how to coast. They learn how to live a certain way. And then they're just, okay, just content with that. We need to learn to love to be challenged. That we have to be in faith. That we need to draw more on the grace of God. This coasting thing, you know, is very dangerous. The older you get, and this is to everybody. The older you get, the greater the temptation to want to coast. Now, I understand you might not have the same energy you had at 65 you did when you're 35. So that's work, how the Amish say it, work smarter, not harder, or something like that. Is that close, Aaron Ray? Something like that. But we, you know, we need to have the mind to work, and God will provide for his plan. So as he reveals plan, it's going to possibly even shock you a little bit. And we need faith to trust that God will give me what I need. Now, when David wanted to see the temple built, but God said, no, you're not the man. You are a man of bloodshed. Your son Solomon, he's the one. So David's preparing everything he would need, and that's a picture of God. And that's in 1 Chronicles 28:29. He gave him the plans. He gave them the workers. He gave them the materials, the gold, everything they needed to build that temple. God will give you what you need if it's his plan. You can make your own plans, and there's no guarantee of God. You're sort of left to your own ability. And people can do certain things in their own ability. I'd much rather do his plan and let him supernaturally give me what I needed. Now, it could be an idea. It could be wisdom. There's a lot of multi-billionaires because they had an idea. It could be the strength to do something. It can involve the financial aspect, the material aspect. He'll provide for his plan. Now, okay. I want to go to Proverbs 16, hit this a little bit, and then we'll pick up tomorrow. Proverbs 16, 1 through 4, this came alive in me so much. Let me start here. It says, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongues from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit thy works to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Now, in the English translation here, and that was an old King James translation, it's not a very good translation, but the word preparations is dealing with plan. And the plan in the heart of man comes from the Lord, or God wants to give you, put in your heart his plan. Now, to reference back to that Ephesians 1:11, to work it, you have to have a decision with a determination that proceeds from your will. I want this. It has to mean something to you, because you got to see anything through, you've got to commit yourself. I mean, you want to play an instrument, you have to commit to practice. You have to pay a price. And if it's not in your heart, you'll see, you play a game to see if you can fool the music teacher. Did you ever do that, Joe? I did it. I'll use Jared as an example there. There was a point, he was young, and it was in his heart. We bought a bass. They asked him, Jared, is it in your heart to play bass? He said, yeah. We used to have to tell him to stop practicing. Yeah, man, he'd come home and go like, couple hours. Why? It was in his heart. God put that there. Now, I learned to play guitar to worship at home. I don't have a calling to it. I don't have a gift. I don't have the ear like he would have, like that I hear it. I'd have to do it repetitiously. Drive my wife crazy. Oh, my. But see, you can learn to do some things, but then there's times there's something that's in you, okay? And you don't need anybody prodding you or pushing you if it's in your hearts. Within your will, I want to do this. You make a decision. You set yourself. And young people need to learn to experience that somewhere along the line. Young guys. Whether, you know, somewhere along the line there has to be where there is a desire for something and you set yourself and you'll work at it and you'll be good at it or accomplish what you want to do. Because that's something you carry with you in your life. Some people just become lazy. They never really push themselves to do anything. And then say, oh, well, that person's just gifted. No, you have to develop what's in you to work at. You have to focus on that. Okay, well, the plan is something we born of the Spirit in us. He says the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And the word answer there is a word that can mean like response, but it's also speaking to purpose and goal. And as I was meditating on this, it's like, I see it. God drops the plan, the step, the thing before you into your heart for your life, and he desires to give you a prophetic word to speak to the very thing that he wants for your life. When I say a prophetic word, I don't mean someone prophesying. I mean inspired of God, like a scripture to it or a word, because the principle involved is that our speaking and praying the word of God releases the power of God to bring something to pass. That is the principle, the faith principle. And you can't have a plan from God, not just what you're doing. You're going to build a dog house. Now, I'm not talking about that. But the plan from God's going to require God to be in it. Like the wheel in the wheel went on to say the Spirit of God was in the wheel. He's in the work. We need him involved in that work, not just us doing something out of our head and our own ability. That's not what I'm talking about this weekend, how to plan natural things. But I'm talking about the plan of God, that which is born of the Spirit in our life, born of the Spirit of God, and then with it, he will begin to minister a word to your heart where you begin to speak and declare and pray it until it comes. Wow, I was excited when I saw that. That's just alive on the inside of me. The plan and the word of the Lord needs to come from the Lord. And we carry that on the inside. And I just want to speak a moment to the fact that we receive the plan of God. We don't think it up. We don't dream it up on our own. Now, I like to dream things. I like to see potential in things. You know, we've bought this last property where we are now. It's 15 years ago. It was kind of bare. It was, you know, bare. It was maybe like a pasture or something before. And I'm looking at, well, you can put trees here and do this and do this and do this. That's fun to me. Planning and dreaming is fun. It's very sad when someone has that killed in them because they live in the fear of failure. I mean, as a teenager, that died in me. And that set me up to like be a drug user. Because I lost my dream. I didn't have God's dream. You got to have God's dream. It'll kill you if you don't. And as I gave my life to the Lord, and over time, he began to unfold his plans for my life. But that needs to be received. It's one thing just to dream stuff up on your own. That's not what I'm talking about. The plan of God's received, that next step, the thing he would have you to do. And that's going to come as we are waiting on the Lord, diligently just praying, seeking him, praying and seeking him. You young guys really need to hear this. You have to learn. Your dads will teach you. Pastors will teach you. Learn to pray. Learn to be quiet and listen to God. One of the things that I love my iPad. I mean, that's, man, everything's in there. Bibles, music, all kinds of stuff. But Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. You see, the problem with all this stuff, and I love my iPad, the problem is you got to be able to shut all the noise off, whether it's noise you hear or noise you see, images. A lot of people, you can develop no attention span. The thing with like the tweets, I don't tweet. But the thing that concerns me with that is that people, young people, can't learn to think beyond a sentence. Well, I mean, they probably don't even make sentences. I mean, it's like this. That concerns me. Can't even think beyond that little. Because see what happens, you do something repeated, and I'm not against all these. I'm not against tweeting. Whatever. I'm saying my concern is you repeatedly do that, your brain will just be limited to thinking like that. I remember I had a real awakening one time, just probably about 30 years ago. I had a certain office set up, an outer office, secretary, and all this stuff. And you, back in the old days, the landlines. And in an office setting, you had calls come in, roll over, or put them on hold, call somebody. Of course, we don't do that anymore. We have cells, and the only people call me is people I want them to call me. But what would happen is just interruptions. And I remember when I was just praying, and after about 45 minutes, I didn't have an interruption. I interrupted myself. I go over, bookshelf. I pull a book off. It has nothing to do with what I'm praying about or studying. And I realized I had actually come into, my brain was being trained to only be focused for 45 minutes. Because I was always getting interrupted that much. Now, 45 minutes maybe is long for some people. But it's like that was diminishing for me because of these interruptions. You have to discipline your mind. You have to apply yourself to focus. Now, whether it's interruptions, did you ever run into that, Dave? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It's like, you're allowing yourself to be trained to not focus any longer than this. Well, when you need to hear from God and answers, you need to stay in the presence of the Lord until you get it. But if you don't discipline yourself to ever do that, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not just going to one day pray for 12 hours and fast. I mean, I remember early on, endeavoring to do those things. And maybe I would like rent a room or something. I would try to separate myself. You will not go beyond whatever discipline you already have. I mean, you might push a little more. It's like weightlifting, bodybuilding. You only push it a little bit more each time. You can't just, okay, I'm going to go here in 2 days, this much more weight. You can't do that. It's a little bit at a time. So I'm going to seek the Lord. And you're in a room like this. You start looking at that stone wall. Start studying the joints. That's something I would know about. And it's like after a certain amount of time, your mind's done to really focus and listen. And we have to develop in the same way you would learn to play an instrument or same way you would bodybuilding. It's, you have to keep working at it. And to be able to hear the voice of God is so important that you know what he's saying to you. And some people can get to where there's a big problem. They're so undisciplined, they don't even go to the Lord. Okay, well, the plan of God, we're going to have to really wait on him, pray, seek him. Now, what will happen, the Lord will begin to reveal something to you, a next step, because plans are steps. Usually one at a time is enough for us to focus on. And then you have a time where you're walking that out, and you come to where there's a transition from one thing to another. That's a critical time. That's a time where many times we need that next word from God. Elijah finished what God had for him by bringing judgment on Ahab and the prophets of Baal. And he killed them. He destroyed them. And he didn't have anything else from God. He got in this depression, self-pity. Oh, I'm the only one left. God rebuked him. He said, there's 7,000 more. Stop messing around with that thought. I want you to go down the mount where I spoke to Moses, and I'm going to speak a word to you again. The angel came and fed him, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days hiking on down there. He's there, and God says, it's not in the earthquake, it's not in the rushing wind, but it's in the still small voice of God. And he received the next step of the plan of his life, and that was to disciple Elisha. The prophetic ministry to take his place and to anoint two kings. And he went in that to the end. That was the word to the end. We need to have a word to the end. So now I'm speaking to those who would be a little more seasoned and experienced in life. Or if you want to say older. A word to the end. A word to the end. How will you know when it's time to go up? When it's time to really beam me up, Scotty. How will you know? Except you have a word to the end. And that word to the end is important because as someone gets older, you have less energy. You might not just feel like it doing much anything. Or somebody has pain or whatever the issue is. But there still has to be an inner drive. I have seen people who retire without any purpose in front of them. They age and die so much quicker. How many of you noticed that? But of course, then there's those in the Lord. And some of you could testify this. You're busier before you retired. Doing for other people. That's the way it ought to be. Some of you guys, that is your testimony. Because love says people need help. Paul said, whether I go to heaven or not, you know, I don't know which I desire in Philippians. But he said, it's more needful I stay for you. Love says serve. Love says, you know, to give of yourself. Okay, so we come to this place where there are seasons where we need that next step in the plan. Some of you may be in that right now. And when we're in that place, we can kind of get anxious because we feel, I don't know if insecure is quite the right word, but it's uncomfortable. Maybe an anxiety, not knowing what it is that's before you to put your hand. There are times like that where you are in between, where there's another part of the plan to unfold. There's another thing to be revealed. There's times you know what it is, where he has you, what to do, and you just walk it out till you know it's finished. The transitions are the hard times. Anything in life transitions. A woman has a baby, the hardest time's a transition. I think there's a lack of oxygen goes to the brain right around then. Is that right, Dr. Joe? And some women get pretty wild. I've heard of them. My wife didn't do this, but I heard of them like slugging her husband. This is all your fault, whack! You know? Because, you know, she's in transition. Her body's changing, and they say, not enough oxygen goes to the brain to get a little nuts when in that time. And then they have the baby and everything's cool. Everybody's happy. But the transitions can be hard. And no one can tell you for you. And you have to even be careful. Because people might say, well, I think, yeah, you'll do that. You've got to know from the Lord. Because otherwise you won't have the confidence to walk it through. Neither will it. See, in the process of seeking is where the birthing of it really happens. God wants us to seek him. There's a process which in that process, you know the Lord impressed this. It's deep within you. The desire is growing. And out of that, you make that decision, and it carries you forward. I'm so excited, I can hardly stand it, because in the last couple years here, the Holy Spirit has taken me personally. I'm going to say something personal now. In a time of prayer greater than ever, any time in my life. And the reason is the next part of the plans being revealed. And there's things he's showing me and I'm seeing. It overwhelms me. It overwhelms me. The magnitude, the responsibility. There's times compassion is so strong relative to it because the work of God, the plan of God involves people. But I'm enjoying this time. See, don't be anxious. Enjoy every phase of life. I remember my wife, you know, her pregnancies, she always purposed, I'm going to enjoy each phase rather than be like a lot of women, grumbling and complaining. I'm just kid going to come out. I'm miserable. Enjoy it. Enjoy carrying life. If you're in a place where you need the Lord to show you what that next phase is, just stay with that and commit yourself to it. But if you don't pay the price, you won't hear it. You won't receive it. So then you can live in that going around in the wilderness the rest of your life if you want to. And this gets more important, guys, as we're getting older, because you do not want to just try to coast it out. But we need to know what the Lord has for us next. And in the process of seeking, it gets so strong in our will. It's like a woman carrying a baby. You're pregnant with it. Now, it says in verse 2, the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, or everyone thinks he's right, but the Lord weighs a spirit. When I was in India, Israel's son's about 14. We got in the car one day. I said, you ready to drive a car? Oh, yeah, I'm ready to drive a car. I pushed his button. Yeah, I'm ready. And he's a nice young man. Yeah, you can tell he has some maturity for his age. Yeah, I'm ready to drive a car. Well, what's the legal age? Oh, 18. He's 14. And he says, yeah, sometimes, you know, like certain place, whatever, I get in, you know, I drive around a little bit. Probably like out in a village area, there's nothing there. But I ask his mom and dad then, do you think he's ready to drive that car? No. In his mind, he is. And yeah, he could. But emotionally, what happens if you're young driving the car and somebody cuts you off and or laying on their horn and you have to make a quick decision and the lack of maturity to handle it, you end up hurting yourself or somebody else, or damage a car. Ways a man are right or clean in his own eyes. The Lord weighs the spirit. We always think we're ready before we're ready. And that has pride attached to it. So sometimes people are waiting. Why isn't this happening? I feel I have direction from God. What's going on? Maybe he's testing your spirit. And you're just not ready for it. So while you have the plan, you're receiving the plan, you have a sense of direction, we have to at the same time throughout our life be allowing the Lord to deal with our heart and our spirit, lest we not be able to handle it. Some people begin to know what God has for them. They push in their own ability. They're not mature enough for it. Pride comes in their heart and destroys them. And that's happened so much. You know, so we need to be humble before the Lord because he knows what we need. When you're entering into something you've not done before, you don't know what it is you need. That's why you have a teacher or a mentor, an instructor of some kind. You don't know when you're ready. See, this is the ministry of a father to affirm. When the father says, you're ready, then you're ready. And I remember I was driving down the road once, turned the radio on. Somebody's interviewing Burt Reynolds. Now, Burt Reynolds was Macho Man of the 1970s. The movie Deliverance. That's probably 50 years old. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, just take my word for it. Burt Reynolds was Mr. Macho of like the 60s, maybe 70s, late 60s, 70s. He was the cool guy. And they ask him, when did you know you were a man? And he said, almost immediately, when my daddy said I was. When my dad, and they weren't expecting that. This is Mr. Macho, tough guy, you know. When my daddy says I was. But that's the truth. And that's why the Heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He gave the affirmation to Jesus. He gave him what he needed, baptizing him in the Holy Ghost, and off he went. There is a confidence that comes when somebody who knows says, you're ready. And God knows what it's going to take for you to do what you need to do. It's not for you to say, you're ready. Oh, hurry up, hurry up. Can't wait. You have to wait longer. If you get impatient, you'll be waiting even longer. Well, the Lord tests our heart, and he says here, commit your works to the Lord, your thoughts will be established. The word thoughts is also the word answer, or purposes of God are established. It requires a commitment. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to have to commit to it. Part-timers don't succeed in business. There's certain businesses will tell you, yeah, you can do this part-time. You'll do it about 3 months and you'll quit. Right? You've got to commit yourself. Now, not in a sense where you neglect your family or something, but it's going to have to take a commitment. And what God has for you takes all of you and then some. All of you and all of him. All of your heart. Not necessarily all of your time. You have to do other things. But all of your heart, all of your focus, all of your effort. And he'll supernaturally give you what you need beyond that. Lester Sumrall said, if your vision does not shock your flesh, you're backslidden. I'll never forget that. Or if the plan of God doesn't require you to have the Spirit of God involved, you're not hearing it from him. You're not receiving what he has. It's something of you that you're doing. So in the time where we're hearing that next word, it may be years, maybe it's days and hours, maybe it's weeks. You can't try to determine that because we can be impatient. There could be a word from the Lord that'll carry the rest of your life. It could be a season of 5 years, 10 years. And you walk that through and then it's the next step. And then it's something else. What's really sad is people develop wisdom and skills and so forth and then just retire to live selfishly. Look at how much resource for the kingdom of God is wasted that way. I remember as a young pastor, there's times I was praying and saying, God, where are the old men full of the Holy Ghost? I need help. Where's the old men full of the Holy Ghost? Give me an old man. And then Arthur Burt showed up on my doorstep. And old Arthur always used to say, see in the plan. See in the plan. And that's how he, and for those of you who don't know him, he was mentored by Smith Wigglesworth, a great man of faith and power. Arthur just passed away last year at 102, still traveling the world at 100, preaching. When I grow up, I want to be like Arthur. But following the plan, that's how he learned to walk. It was an example to me. I want to be in the plan. And I can say, let's go back to the Lord showing me things. Somewhat, I'm not at liberty to say yet. Publicly, but about things to come. Oh, it's overwhelming me. There is such a great work to be done to those who allow the Lord to deal with their spirit, to have a pure heart, because these last days, it's a great work. And with all things like tech and everything, if someone has any bent towards pride, say God usually raised somebody from the dead and it goes all over viral, 5 million people see it, and your head swells up, can't get out the door. I mean, you wouldn't even fit in the casket, and you have to pop your head. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. In this last day, there's going to be a miraculous, but we need, God needs humble people who can handle that, not touch the glory, and give all the glory to God, all the glory to Jesus. That's just one thing. There's a lot, there's other things. But there's things to come. I've known for years that the day and hour for the church I pastor had not, it was off in the future. And it's for such a time we're coming to. And there'll be others as well with the same type of calling. The calling of Joseph. It will be in position for when the hardship hits. When there's economic collapse, so to speak. And that's coming. It's close. It's soon. But God needs people who will have the provision supernaturally. Who will have the heart for it. Who will know what to do and the plan. And still hold fast to the word of life. Preaching the word, holding fast to that. And helping people in the natural and the realm of need as well. And the door will swing so wide open for the harvest of souls even here. Where people who are hard are going to say, help me. But you have within other nations and missions. There's billions that haven't heard the gospel yet. And we're going to be a part of that. A plan within the greater plan. The body of Christ is going to take the gospel to every people group in the world. No one church does it all. That's foolishness. But together, we do our part. And the Lord, who is the head of all of the church, has everyone doing their part. That harvest's coming in. That's in the mind of God. It's in the Bible. Read the book of Revelation. That's coming. And I am determined. I'm going to be in position do my part in that day and that hour. Life's short. I'm setting everything I have toward that. It's real to me. I see it. I see it. I shared this word with these pastors in India. I see it. I see it. I see it. I've never been able to see that, say that like before, like I am right now. I'm going to be so bold, I see it. What do you see, Pastor? Well, I can't tell you details yet. It's not time. But that's not the point. I'm not trying to say this, that, or the other. At the right time, I'll say those things. But I'm saying, I see it. I see what the Lord wants to be. And it overwhelms me. That's a good thing, because now I have to stay in faith. I've got to pray more than ever and draw on a Spirit of God.